This is Fair Issues on the Mormon Faircast. This week's article is entitled The Tight Control Theory in the Book of Mormon by Michael R. Ash, read by Ned Scarsbrick. This and other articles by Michael Ash can be found at DeseretNews.com. This article was used by permission of the author and the Deseret News. The Tight Control Theory for the Book of Mormon translation suggests that Joseph dictated a fairly literal translation of the Nephite text into the scriptural language of his day. According to several witnesses, Joseph actually spelled out proper names the first time he dictated them to a scribe. One interesting example is the name Coriantumr. Dr. Royal Skousen, the foremost expert on the original Book of Mormon manuscript, the text written by scribes as dictated by Joseph, explains that when Joseph dictated Coriantumr to Oliver Cowdery, Oliver wrote Coriantumr, crossed it out, and then wrote Coriantumr. The first spelling makes sense based on what Oliver would have heard. There is no way Oliver could have known that the name ended with U-M-R unless Joseph offered the correct spelling. It also appears, however, that Joseph spelled out proper names only on their first usage. In subsequent usages, he relied on the scribe to remember the correct spelling, which didn't always happen. In Alma 46, verse 3, for instance, we encounter the first occurrence of the name Amalekihah, which Joseph likely spelled to Oliver. Later in the Book of Alma, Oliver began putting E apostrophe S in place of the second and the third vowels. Oliver corrected his spelling and moved on. Eventually, he quit making corrections, since the first usage set the correct standard, and generally continued to misspell Amalekihah as Amalekihah. An interesting byproduct of this discovery suggests that when Joseph pronounced Amalekihah, he put the heavier stress on the first syllable, while the second and the third vowels, those that Oliver frequently misspelled, probably produced the sound. We can surmise this based on the way Oliver heard and frequently misspelled the word. Today we tend to put the emphasis on the all part of the name. While we generally pronounce the name as Amalekihah, Joseph likely pronounced it Amaluka. Decades after the Book of Mormon was published, there was a wide diversity of the ways that members pronounced the Book of Mormon proper names. Finally, in the early 1900s, a church committee was organized to produce an official pronunciation guide. This committee formulated a set of rules based on common English standards rather than revelation for pronouncing proper names. The intent of the committee was not to dictate the absolute correct way to pronounce the proper names, but rather to establish some uniformity. Today, thanks to Skousen, we have a more likely candidate for the correct pronunciation of the name Amalekihah. The original grammar of the 1830 Book of Mormon also provides some evidence for tight control. Before we get into this evidence, some explanation is in order. All LDS scholars recognize that changes were made to later editions of the Book of Mormon. Now, for many critics, this is a sure sign that God was not the source of the book's translation. For Mormons, however, who do not believe in infallible prophets or inerrant scripture, this presents no problem whatsoever. Some Book of Mormon changes were made to conform to modern spellings. In 1828, for instance, six different dictionaries spelled some words differently. Other changes were made to clarify ambiguous statements. In the 1830 edition, for example, 1 Nephi 8, verse 4, originally read, "For behold, methought I saw a dark and a dreary wilderness." In 1837, this was changed to, "For behold, methought I saw in my dream a dark and dreary wilderness." In 1830, 1 Nephi 20, verse 1, originally read, "Hearken and hear this, O house of Jacob, who were called by the name of Israel, and come forth out of the waters of Judah." In the 1840 edition, the words, "or out of the waters of baptism," were added to end this verse. Many critics have complained about the supposedly bad English grammar found in the first edition. As with the spelling changes and clarifications, when subsequent editions were printed, many non-standard grammatical errors were corrected. The original poor grammar sentences, however, provide some interesting evidences for the tight control theory. In many instances, the original readings, which are improper in English, make perfect grammatical sense in Hebrew. The late Dr. Sidney Sperry, who received his Ph.D. from the University of Chicago Divinity School, Oriental Language and Literatures Department, and did a year of postdoctoral research in archaeology at the American School of Oriental Research, claimed that a strong case could be made that the Book of Mormon often betrays a too literal adherence to the apparent Hebrew original. Book of Mormon as Translation English, Improvement Era, March 1935. This connection will be the topic of our next installment. If you like this podcast, you can help promote it by subscribing to it in iTunes or by rating it and writing a review. Post a link on your blog and Facebook page and tell your friends about us. Questions or comments about this episode can be sent to podcast@fairlds.org or join the conversation at fairblog.org. Michael Ash is the author of the book Shaken Faith Syndrome, Strengthening One's Testimony in the Face of Criticism and Doubt, as well as the book Of Faith and Reason, 80 Evidences Supporting the Prophet Joseph Smith. Both books are available for purchase online through the Fair Bookstore. Music for this episode was provided courtesy of Lawrence Green. The opinions expressed in this podcast are not necessarily the views of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints or that of Fair Mormon.